You're listening to Seeking Office, the Vancouver Municipal Election Podcast. Hello, I'm Alex DeBoer. Though it's early days in Vancouver's municipal election, polls from last week show that Kennedy Stewart is leading in the race to become Vancouver's next mayor. Kennedy Stewart, like most of his competitors, has made affordable housing his campaign centerpiece. Stewart is a soon-to-be former NDP member of parliament and a renter himself. To prove his commitment to ending Vancouver's housing crisis, Stewart cites such accomplishments as securing federal funding for co-op housing in Burnaby and tabling BC's affordable housing strategy in the House of Commons back in 2015. In fact, Stewart tweeted about this a couple days ago, on June 29th, saying his housing strategy prompted the federal government to invest $500,000 to study housing speculation in Metro Vancouver. The tweet has four comments attached, and two of them counter the mention of Stewart's housing strategy by bringing up what seems to be a repeated point of criticism in Stewart's campaign: mass dem evictions in Burnaby. The riding Stewart was elected to represent in Parliament is Burnaby South. And in that riding, there is what community activist Murray Martin describes as the largest mass gentrification project happening in all of Canada. For a Vancouver mayoral candidate running on a platform of housing affordability, this doesn't look good. Although Stewart is, of course, a federal representative without a vote in Burnaby City Council, his critics have asked him to, at the very least, speak out publicly condemning these dem evictions. Last Friday, I interviewed Kennedy Stewart to press him on why he hasn't spoken out. But before we hear from him, I want to give you more context into this situation. I spoke with Burnaby resident and activist Murray Martin, who has been a leader in the fight against these mass dem evictions. Martin is a member of the NDP, ACORN, a social and economic justice organization, as well as the Vancouver Tenants Union. I started out by asking Martin to explain exactly what dem evictions are and why they've become so concentrated in Kennedy Stewart's Burnaby South riding.
Company, or are there multiple ones?
So dem evictions are different from rent evictions in that rent evictions come under the realm of the province. So there's not much the cities can do about rent evictions. It has to be tackled under the Residential Tenancy Act. And dem evictions are a rezoning issue where, like an apartment building is rezoned and people are evicted and it's demolished and then, luxury condos are built. So, about 85% of dem evictions in the Lower Mainland are in Burnaby, and all of those in Burnaby are in the Metro Town. So just for comparison, like two different cities, Burnaby and New Westminster, Burnaby has demolished 706 units. That's around 32 apartment buildings between 2011 and 2017 last July. So that's about 6% of its purpose-built rental, and New West in the same period has demolished zero. So these are conscious decisions made by, it's not a force of nature, it's political, it's decisions made by politicians at the municipal level. So in July 2017, the city rammed through the it's called the Metrotown plan update. It's basically a Metrotown downtown plan, and with no consultation. It was kind of a farce. They had like 222 people submit feedback on this, which is hardly anyone in Metrotown really, or in Burnaby actually, knows about this process for feedback. So and since then, 952 units, just in the last 11 months, which is 8% of Burnaby's purpose-built rentals, is in the line of the wrecking ball. So that's a significant amount of Burnaby's purpose-built rental, and this is all in Kennedy Stewart's riding. So when I say 85% of dem evictions in the Lower Mainland are in Burnaby, they're all concentrated in Metrotown, every one of them in Burnaby, and these are all in Kennedy's riding. This represents probably 90% of the purpose-built rentals in Kennedy's Stewart's riding will be destroyed in this process. So, like, a significant number have already probably. These are just ballpark estimates. I'm guessing to date, in Kennedy's riding, maybe 35% of the purpose-built rentals, representing several thousand people of the lowest income people in his riding, have been either ejected or in the process of being ejected right now. So it's a massive amount. You know, it's basically equivalent to an area of the downtown east side. If Jenny Kwan's riding was facing 2,000 people being evicted and another 6,000 of low-income people being evicted, I have a really hard time thinking that Jenny Kwan would stay silent about this and pretend it's not happening in public. Nothing to do with the city.
As Martin mentions in comparison, yeah. New yeah, West, Burnaby's neighbor, with a similar amount of purpose-built rental stock, has seen no recent dem evictions. He recognizes that Burnaby City Council didn't cause the larger housing crisis, but says they're throwing gasoline on the fire. So this is interesting because we have Corgan on the municipal level pointing the finger at the provincial level, and then we have Kennedy Stewart, who is the Burnaby MP in this riding where all these mass dem evictions are happening, and he is saying that he can't really do anything about these dem evictions because it's on the municipal level. So whose jurisdiction is this?
Well, he's right in one respect, just like I can't do anything about these in the midst, but I can kind of think that's a really shallow argument. So for example, when the city does submissions, when they do a public hearing, like the one that was canceled the other night because of the massive public pushback, people in Burnaby, it doesn't even have to be people in Burnaby, people can put in submissions saying, yes, this is a good idea, or no, this is not a good idea. So we had in December, we had the four Burnaby MLAs put in submissions to actually evict, I think it was 64 families on Sussex Avenue to build some non-market housing. But the non-market housing is more expensive than the units being evicted, and the people being evicted are being sacrificed, like thrown out, and they're not going to be put into this more expensive non-market housing anyway. So this is a regular thing politicians do, is they stand up for their constituents by putting in submissions in these city hall hearings, and they weigh in. So his argument is just, it's like, I don't think people elected Kennedy Stewart just to be silent on thousands and thousands of low income and people in his riding being ejected by the city. The real root of the issue is it's an NDP city council, and Kennedy is an NDP politician, and he's putting his loyalty over the council to his constituents. And I know if this was any other city council in Burnaby with that wasn't aligned with the NDP, all of these politicians would be putting in regular submissions, talking publicly, demanding a moratorium along with the rest of us. But that's partisan politics.
So to clarify this partisan politics accusation, Burnaby Mayor Derek Corgan and the majority of city council in Burnaby belong to a municipal party called Burnaby Citizens Association, or BCA. In order to be a member of BCA, you also have to be a member of the BCNDP. Because Kennedy Stewart is an NDP MP, Martin argues that in the case of these dem evictions, partisanship is stopping him from speaking out. In the interview you're about to hear, I ask Stewart about this partisanship and what it would mean to speak out against Corgan and the BCA. Our conversation, however, begins on the topic of potential vote splitting in October's municipal election. Take a listen. First of all, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me. I know you're busy.
Oh, great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So there are a number of left and center-left candidates running for mayor in October's civic election in Vancouver. Shauna Sylvester, Ian Campbell, probably Patrick Condon of COPE. So why are you the best candidate for voters who want to vote for someone on the left?
Right. Well, that's good. First, so great question. And I guess I look at it in a slightly different way. I try to look at the mayoralty candidates that are involved in the race in terms of their affiliations with kind of better known political entities. So for me, I look at the race and I'm the only NDP candidate. I'm a federal New Democrat member of parliament. I've always been in the NDP. And so I guess I look at myself as perhaps out of the declared candidates or the ones that are fully in the race. I guess I'd be the progressive. I see others as a bit more centrist. But, you know, listeners can, whatever brands they look at or whatever kind of cues they need to determine where we sit on the political spectrum, I think perhaps affiliations with federal parties is one good way to do that.
Right. Do you think you're further left than Cope?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Cope, I've got a long history with Cope. I worked, I organized for Cope in the mid-90s and then again in the early 2000s when Larry Campbell was mayor. But I do think that Cope has moved, they would be the furthest left, the furthest left party, I think. And I'm just, I know Patrick Condon's seeking the nomination for Cope, mm-hmm. but of course he's, that's not decided until August, and mm-hmm. then he hasn't stated if he's an independent or not, if he doesn't get the Cope nomination. So I'm not quite clear on what's all going over there, but I do know that Ian Campbell is the nominee for Vision, mm-hmm. Much more associated with federal Liberals, say, and Sean O'Sylvester was a founder of Vision, and to my knowledge, not a New Democrat. So that's kind of how I'm distinguishing things. And I'm not sure what Patrick Condon's affiliation is or if he's even going to eventually be in the race or not. But but it is really interesting in this early phase of the period. There's lots of choice. But what ends up in the ballot in that'll be determined in September will actually determine people's what choice they have in October.
Right. So you're not worried about another vote splitting happening like what happened during the by-election in 2017 when Hector Bremner was elected?
Yeah, I mean, again, we still don't know who's actually going to be on the ballot. Mm-hmm. We do have. I would say the right is more fractured than the left at the moment. Do have Wei Young, who I know from my federal politics days, who is a firm Harper conservative. Hector Bremner is, a real libertarian in the sense that he wants to upzone everything in Vancouver, kind of turn Vancouver into Houston. So I'd see him as more of a libertarian. Associated perhaps with the that part of federal politics, and then Ian Campbell would be again more center, so you've got and of course we have Ken Sim, who's with the NPA. So mm-hmm. in my mind, that's the kind of right being much more fractured than the left of but again, we'll see who ends up on the ballot.
There's definitely a lot of choices on both sides. So to move on to housing, your new campaign posters are up and they say housing is a right, not a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've done a lot of great work to fight for affordable housing in BC, such as with your BC affordable housing strategy.
Yep.
And of course, the work you've done to secure federal funding for Burnaby Co-op housing.
Yep.
And I've seen this brought up in the media and you've mentioned it in interviews. So those two affordable housing efforts aside, can you tell me why you haven't spoken out against the mass dem evictions happening in your riding in Burnaby?
Yeah, I mean, I get this question all the time, and it's a little befuddling to me. So, I was elected in 2011 as a federal MP with housing front and center on my agenda, and have done my very best to do that at the federal level, being a very loud voice there, as well as working. Very, very hard with all my local co-ops to try to save their federal funding, which I've been able to do. We just had, earlier this year, I got a thank you letter from a local co-op saying, thank you, you've saved 200 units here in the Metrotown area. Mm-hmm. And then we just got the federal notice, a couple of days ago that they're going to extend to this all to co-ops all across British Columbia, which is fantastic. And this is, from concerted effort at the federal level, which I consider my main job. I mean, that's what I collect my salary for, is to do federal work. And I have the other stuff I've done as an MP is to visit a lot of buildings where people are having trouble with landlords, and calling landlords up and putting pressure on them to clean up their act, essentially. So we do have some federal leverage to do that. And I have had a number of conversations with Burnaby City Council about this. I have to say some of them are quite heated. But in the end, I stand up and vote yes or no in the House of Commons, and City Council is going to do what they're going to do at the local level. I can voice my concerns, which I have done to them, but in the end, my job's to do federal level politics. Now my job's changing, I hope. I hope I become mayor of Vancouver. And, you know, my policies would be different in Vancouver.
Right.
So that's, you know, so I have, again, spoken to council a lot on this, tried my best to, you know, to present my perspective, and then done what I can at the federal level to save as much housing as I can, especially the co-op housing, and I've done that.
Right. And I mean, I understand, obviously, it's complicated between the different levels of government. It's not like you can simply fix this, and it's not a problem that you created. But regardless of that, the fact that you haven't spoken out publicly against it does suggest maybe just partisanship that's more important to you. Like, what would you say to that criticism?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my political mentor is Jack Layton. I was, you know, I ran with him in two elections and was very proud to serve with him in the official opposition. You know, Jack really had two rules. There's no proposition. There's no opposition without proposition. But there also is, you know, there's really not much value in personal attacks. And I found that all the way through the through my political career is that, sure, lots of people want you to call people names and that type of thing, but I don't ever find that very very productive in a sense. So once you do that once, you really can't talk to that person again.
Right. And so if you were to speak out against the Dem evictions, it would be like a personal attack on Derek Corgan?
Well, it could be perceived that way, that's for sure. And so, again, I have been working at the federal level doing my stuff, and I also have spoken to the council on a number of occasions, voicing my concern and the concerns that have been brought to me by constituents. I have also met with ACORN. I've met with you know, the folks that are in charge of the Dem eviction, you know, protests and things. I met with Ivan Drury. I've gone to the buildings where people are being evicted. I've helped them through my office secure ID and make sure their pensions are at their proper level and get employment insurance and turn my office into a kind of a one-stop shop for people that need help that are have to relocate. So I feel like I've done everything within my purview to, you know, every bit of authority or resources that I have, I've thrown towards this issue. And, you know, that's not going to be satisfactory with some people. And I'm grateful that you understand the differences between the three levels. And I can understand people are really upset too.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear it all the time. People are very upset about what's going on there. And I do think that pressure, will result in change too. And I think that's, so I say to people that talk to me about this issue, you know, thanks for bringing it up, and let's keep pushing to get change.
Yeah, I mean, just an example that's been brought up is, like, say, for example, if this kind of concentration of Dem evictions were happening in Vancouver East, the riding of MP Jenny Kwan, it would be hard to imagine her staying silent. So, I mean, with a campaign that's so focused on affordable housing and housing is a human right, don't you think that this is going to hurt your chances of becoming the mayor of Vancouver?
No, I don't think so, because, you know, I've explained my rationale here. If I was going to denounce particular people, then you're not ever going to be able to move forward on other issues. And so, and I also I do feel like there's you know, this is somewhat of a campaign by folks. You know, I see it on Twitter and Facebook, and it does seem to be primarily driven by political opponents here in Vancouver. So they're trying to find something to pick on me about, and that's fine. You know, ignoring all the other stuff that I've done at the federal level, and I think this is an election campaign, and that's how that works. You know, I just have to prove to people I'll be a good mayor, and I'm trying to do that through announcing policies and things that I will do. Like, for example, you know, proactively disclosing everybody that's donating to my campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first and only person to have done that so far, and I'm challenging the others to make sure they do that as well, to make sure that we know where funding is coming from for this election. And so far, everybody's been pretty quiet about that.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I do think that, you know, also when you're, you know, when you're doing well in the polling, you become a target and people are looking at things to criticize you about, and that's fair. But, you know, this has been something I've worked on for a very long time in Ottawa. And I think my constituent, the funny thing is that a lot of this doesn't come from Burnaby. I get letters all the time, people coming in, thanking very much. You know, I got one again the other day where I've been actively work, you know, I've been actively helping them with their housing issues. So,
right.
You know, so my...
I mean, there's a lot of outcry from Acorn and
that's right.
People
yeah.
in Burnaby as well.
That's their job. I mean, that's the job of Acorn, that's the job of the demo evictions people, and that's the job mm-hmm. of Iron Drury is to find areas where they can push and be heard and create noise, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much finding issues, though, I would say. Like, it's a lot of people. There's a, 85% of the rental stock in Burnaby is in this riding you're in that is set to be dem evicted. It's a lot.
Right, and I do know that two nights ago, two buildings that were supposed to be... approved for redevelopment, the council pulled that off the docket. You know, so I do think these impacts, sure, I understand the pressures and I'm supportive of the folks that are doing them. I just think, and I have continued to talk to the council and the mayor about this, but I don't have a vote on council. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't have that official authority to do anything there other than assert my, my opinion and talk to folks. But I have to do what I can at the federal level, and that's what I've been elected to do. And people don't like that. They may not like it. They may not be satisfied with it, but that's the reality of the job. But, you know, if I'm elected mayor of Vancouver, then, my policies would be significantly different. And, the other thing is that I think, like, again, this doesn't come from my constituents, really. I ask people because I talk to them all the time. I try to answer all my incoming emails myself and understand this. And I don't really get this from my constituents, a small group that are interested in targeting the Burnaby City Council. But I don't really get it from my own constituents. So. It's really ramped up now because I've entered the civic campaign here in Vancouver because, again, people are looking for reasons to go against me, but it doesn't really come from my own constituents in Burnaby.
And if it did, like if everyone were to write you and say this is a major issue, would you then speak out against it?
Well, I'm the guy that went and got arrested to stop the Kinder Morgan pipeline. You know, I mean, I have my constituents' backs, and I always have, and I don't think anybody questions that.
So you would speak out if they demanded it of you?
Well, I would do my job, which I'm doing. I mean, I would do everything I can at the federal level, which is my job, and that's what I've been doing since I've been elected. So, and for me, I will continue to work the channels to try to pressure in my own way. I think there's stuff you see and there's stuff you don't see, and then, but often the things you don't see can be more effective. So, I think this name calling that you get is part of being a politician, and people are angry. I understand how it is a housing crisis. Not just in Vancouver, but all across the Lower Mainland, people are angry. But really, there does seem to be a focus here. But the thing is, why are we in the situation we're in Metro Vancouver? It's to do with a lack of investment in affordable housing. I mean, that's really what it's from.
And,
it's great to generate campaigns around particular parts of the problem. I understand that, and I understand it's makes people feel good. But unless we all pull together, this is just going to get worse. And it comes from having a lack of supply of new housing coming online that's non-market. We haven't done that kind of investment. And that's
right. So what about something like you say people in certain campaigns are focusing on one aspect of the problem. So say, for example, Jean Swanson has focused on taxing the rich and suggested or argued that there should be a mansion tax. What would you say to that? Would you be in favor of a mansion tax?
Well, there is one already.
I know, but one on...
No, there is one. Even... No, there is a... And this is what I mean, that the rhetoric is great. The rhetoric and screaming at people and all that kind of is great. But when you look at the actual policy, the details of it, there has been a mansion tax that's just put in place by the provincial government.
Yeah.
And it's significant and it's causing quite a lot of outrage and among a very small segment of the population. It was a brave move that I support by the provincial government. And if it's not effective, then they should increase it. I mean, so it is a bit disingenuous to say, you know, we'll put a mansion tax on when there's already one in.
Yeah, I think there's a slight difference, though. The mansion tax is on properties over $5 million, I think, so it'd be an even a greater tax for that elevated wealth bracket.
Sure.
But yes, you're right. Like, the school tax is a tax on mansions as well.
Yeah, it is. And it just has been put in place. So, I mean, I'm a policy professor, and I think, okay, we've had an empty homes tax, we have this additional school tax, and then the province is going to put in a speculation tax in the fall. These are three brand new measures. We should see how they're working and then adjust accordingly. So, I think people have been heard, and you're having actions, two actions from the provincial government and one from the city of Vancouver. So there has been movement, and I think that's good. And again, I do really value the voices, what Jean Swanson and others are putting in place. But, you know, there is the fact that Jean's not going to be mayor. She may be part of council. And I think the approach sometimes of these groups is alienating people that are probably their best supporters. And I do think that is problematic, because... There's 650,000 people in Vancouver. There's 400,000 voters. In order to make decisions, you have to have a group of people on city council that are going to put new measures in place. And if you're just attacking everybody all the time, even if you made it on council, then who's going to work with you? And I think that's, one of the biggest lessons I took from Ottawa, where I was able to cobble together coalitions. The only bill that Stephen Harper lost in the House of Commons was on my... effort to bring electronic petitioning to the House of Commons, where I split off eight of his backbenchers, hardcore backbenchers, to win this vote 142-140. Now, if I went around calling everybody names all the time and all that stuff, those kind of things would never happen. So I do think that the anger needs to be channeled into a more productive way forward.
I hear what you're saying, and I think that the one thing with parties that are more radical on the left, like COPE and groups like ACORN and the VTU, is they're advocating for policies that will address a crisis that's happening right away. So, for example, a freeze on rent. Something like that appeals to a lot of renters because right now, if you move out, the price of your unit can be bumped up as much as the landlord wants it to be. So
yeah, I'm
think
a renter.
These more.
I know. I'm yeah, a renter, yeah. So I know this,
so,
right?
But would you be in favor of something that is perceived as more radical, like a rent freeze?
Well, we do have rent control at the province, right? I mean, we do have, but it's attached to the individual.
Yeah, like, which so, is the issue.
That's right. And so I've been a housing advisor for a very long time. In some circumstances, rent freezes, rent caps are essential. But I think I guess as a policy prof, what I say, my thing is, like, let's identify what the problem is here first before we jump to policy solutions. So I'm actually writing a piece right now about how we measure affordability. $1,800 a month is seen as affordable because it's a third of the median income. But what that's missing is the lower people that make under the median income are being squeezed out. I think that's what the problem is here. What is the best mechanism to address this? My thought is that it's an increase of supply. And again, people, people often confuse this with just more of the same, but it's not. It's a supply of non-market housing. And if you get a big enough supply of non-market housing, then your rents drop. So we've tried different policies to kind of get the private market to build this stuff, and they don't here and they don't anywhere. So you do have to have significant government investments in this in non-market housing. And I don't mean social housing, you know, for the folks that are lowest income. I mean folks that are middle and lower income. And so I think that, you know, it's an option worth considering, but I think it may do more harm than good if it was just brought in without any kind of proper analysis. I know it's probably not what people want to hear, but you really have to cut through the rhetoric when you're in elections because people were promised the moon and then not be able to deliver.
I wanted to also just ask you why you're running for the mayor of Vancouver rather than the mayor of Burnaby.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I grew up in rural Nova Scotia and I moved out to the West Coast in 1988. I landed in Burnaby and lived there for a year and then moved to Vancouver. And really from 1989 to about the mid-90s, I lived in Vancouver and I worked for the city of Vancouver. I worked for the park board. Then I went away and did my PhD and then I came back in 2002 and lived in Vancouver right through until 2011 when I moved to Burnaby. And so Vancouver's really been my West Coast home, you know, working for COPE in the 90s and early 2000s and ran in Vancouver Center in 2004 federally. So it really is, I think, my home on the West Coast. So I feel like I want to do everything I can to make this better. When Gregor announced that he wasn't going to run, a bunch of people asked me if I would consider it. And at that point, after 2015, I was living in Vancouver. I've been living here since after the 2015 election. And so I considered it, and then you know, polling came out again. And when I was, I think I did well in one of the earlier polls, and people continued to contact me, and I said, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try to do what I can. I'll bring my knowledge that I've learned from the university and from working at the city and the park board and try to do everything I can to make life more affordable, bring my new Jack Layton new democratic values to City Hall, and that's why.
Okay, and so does it also have to do with the fact that the municipal level in Burnaby is NDP or made up of NDP members?
Well, I don't quite understand your question.
Like, because there's already, Derek Corgan is already an NDP member, and so you'd have to run against him?
Yeah, I wasn't, that was not something I ever considered, and nobody really asked me to do that. You know, so I guess my political career teaches me that you know, it's important that you have a group of people that support you doing something before you, you know, that helps make your mind up. And so the call was from Vancouver, not from Burnaby. Right. So I thought, okay, well, that sounds good. And I guess there's no, people always ask you why you do certain things and why you don't. I think it's never that cut and dry. You know, you just, you kind of look at things and people as they become available and but I thought it was a really good fit and I feel great about it. I mean, I'm really enjoying this campaign. I'm liking getting into the issues. I'm enjoying the moving from federal to municipal. I mean, you know, one of my books is Local Government in Canada. It's a textbook that's used in universities right across Canada. And so I have a significant understanding of how cities work. And I'm really looking forward to put it into practice if I can be elected mayor.
Well, you're leading in the polls, so
yeah, and I'm
good.
Well, I mean, it's really early days yet.
It's early, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, you know, I was pleased by that, I think. And now people are going to kick my tires. They're going to see, well, what's this guy made of? Who is he? Is he the kind of right person to lead the city? And that's great. And I'm looking forward to those conversations. And I like the tough questions. I like the you know, I like the passion, and I love that, folks are standing up for other people. I think that's great. I do think, though, there is a certain practical nature about politics, mm-hmm. and really it comes down to not just votes in elections, but votes on city council. And if we don't get enough progressive people elected to city council, you're going to see, I mean, when you hear promises from Ken Sim and Hector Bremner and Wei Young, those folks have very different plans for Vancouver. You won't see the kind of investing in non-market housing that you need here. You'll see an over-reliance on market forces to address our problems here. You'll see, you know, Wei Young says she's going to rip out all the bike lanes, and mm-hmm. Hector Bremner's going to, you know, remove zoning and turn us into Houston. Don't really know what Ken Sim's going to do. He's been pretty quiet, but he does say he wants to cut waste, and we know what that means. That's service reductions and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, to me, they're the ones, you know, one of the main reasons to getting in is I know from working in the city of Vancouver and being active in local politics in Vancouver that the NPA can do a lot of, can make things a lot worse, and I want to stop them from taking over City Hall.
Well, I'm glad that you like tough questions and being grilled.
No, it's good. It helps me kind of, you know, it authenticates the discussion, I think, too.
So absolutely.
Thanks for the questions.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I promised you a 10-minute interview, and it's been half an hour. So
okay, no problem. Anytime.
Yeah, I will let you go. So thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to me. And I hope
this
you
piece
have a good
was reported,
weekend.
Produced, okay, and edited
bye-bye.
By Alex DeBoer. Special thanks to CITR's
bye-bye.
News
thanks.
Team.
Bye.
Seeking Office is brought to you by CITR's News Collective and produced by Alex DeBoer. Our theme music is by Artem Bemba. Thank you for listening.